In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Joseph, her husband, being a just man. The thought that our Lord will be born during this holy night fills us with joy, and Advent, with its penance and anticipation, melts away now into the joy that our Lord will come and do what? That he shall save his people from their sins. The Church, however, thinks to give us a last minute, as it were, but most powerful, after Our Lady, patron saint. Christmas Eve is St. Joseph's Day in Advent each year. We should remember the great truths about St. Joseph, how that he was born without original sin, sanctified in his mother's womb, as was John the Baptist, and how many saints, including St. Francis de Sales, teach that he was assumed after his death, body and soul, into heaven, and that he was a saint. What does it mean to be a saint already in this world and on this earth? That he was constantly in conversation with God. He was never not united with God. Our little Christmas holy card this year has, and I'm very happy to see it, has the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, along with Teresa. And they have all that in common. They are all of them in constant union with our Lord. But to be in union with our Lord, for us here below, in what's called the Stato Viatoris, a traveler still, means that we can and we must merit. And so for these saints who have nothing to expiate of their own sins, who have nothing from which they need to be purified, these saints participate already, St. Joseph by anticipation, in the passion of our Lord, in the redemption of mankind, in the saving of all of us from our sins, and this they do by their suffering. And so today's gospel, the last one for Advent, concerns the first of the seven sorrows and seven joys of St. Joseph. There St. Joseph is, working every day in his carpenter shop. Our Blessed Mother is with him. She brings him his dinner each day. And they eat out of the same dish because that's how families ate back then. And it is obvious at a certain point that the Virgin Mary is with child. And she says nothing because she was not told to say anything. And Joseph says nothing. The liturgy says for today, cuius mysterium nescebat, celavit silencio. He didn't understand the mystery, and he hid it. He covered it over with silence. What a wonderful approach that is in life, the practical imitation of St. Joseph, the carrying out of the will of God, to cover over so many things in silence. Indeed, if we would keep a little bit of our Christmas peace during this holy night to come and throughout the whole of this octave and the 40 blessed days that they lead us into, there are so many things in which we have to simply imitate good St. Joseph to cover it over in silence. To cover something over in silence can spare us a lot of grief, but it doesn't mean any more than it did for St. Joseph that there wouldn't be suffering. A redemptive suffering is St. Joseph's. Our Lady looks at him each day, and how she grieves that she can say nothing. And St. Joseph looks at our Blessed Mother and does not understand, and his heart is broken. He's full of grief, until finally comes that moment described in the Gospel when the great Archangel Gabriel himself comes to St. Joseph, but in a dream at night, and says, fear not, those wonderful words that come throughout Christmas, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name not Joseph, but Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The French poet and playwright Paul Claudel describes the scene of their next meeting the next day at dinner, at noontime, this way. He says that Our Lady and Our Lord were sitting across from each other, sharing the same dish as usual, and that Saint Our Lady was looking not at the eyes of St. Joseph, which were shut, but at his mouth as he began to speak. And what did he say to indicate that now he knew the mystery? He said the words of Gabriel. He said across the table to his wife and his queen, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." And that was all that was ever said, nothing more. The first of many, many Hail Marys. He had learned it from the angel during the night that he would say for the rest of his blessed, sorrowful, and joyful earthly existence. Indeed, let us ask good Saint Joseph, who, because he is a silent saint, is not honored by us nearly enough. Let us ask him to be our Christmas saint this year and to go with us to teach us to cover over with silence mysteries we don't and probably never could understand, to teach us to offer all of that up in some little way so that it should be joined to the redemptive suffering of our Lord himself, as was in a great way all of the sorrows that broke St. Joseph's heart seven times over, and Our Lady's most of all. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.